Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Becca Bruner.
Well, hi there, and welcome once again to Paley Presbyterian Church Online. We're so glad that you're with us here today. We are jumping into week two of the Joy Project. We started last week, and it's going to carry us all the way through until the end of the month of May. We are seeking Jesus, serving others, and taking care of yourself, all three crucial ingredients if you want to experience joy. You know, we recognize that a lot of us aren't very happy right now. We're stuck at home. Our jobs, some of us, have been lost. Our bodies, some of us, are sick. Our minds, a lot of us, are anxious. We're not happy. But we really truly believe that we can still and experience joy. Because as we said last week, joy, it's not the absence of suffering. Joy is the presence of the Lord. And so week one of the Joy Project, it's already begun, and you guys are doing amazing. So many of you reached out to decorate your mailboxes, to put together care packages, to write thank you notes to not only your mail carriers, but you went above and beyond and gave care packages to the FedEx delivery guys, to the trash guys, to any of those essential workers that are putting their own lives at risk to help all of us. You have shown your love to them in such incredible ways, and it's such a wonderful thing to see. And I want you to know that not only have I noticed, but they have noticed. People are noticing what you're doing in some pretty incredible ways. Our mailman, his name is Ed. Some of you know him, some of you share him as your mail carrier as well. Ed, this last week, I think on Wednesday, we put our care package in the mailbox for him. And when he got it, he actually pulled over, parked his truck, and came over and knocked on our door to talk to us. And as he did, Ed told us, we already knew, Ed's a Christian, he's a believer in Jesus, but he told us that most of his coworkers aren't. In fact, many of his coworkers, his fellow mail carriers, he said, are people who've had some pretty bad experiences of the church. But then this week got going, and so many of them received so much love from all of you, they saw that. They experienced the members of Paley Presbyterian Church serving them and loving them in Jesus' name. And they were impressed. And they were thankful. So good job, friends. Good job. You are doing a good thing. You are not only bringing joy to yourself, you're bringing joy to others as you serve in this way. So let's keep it up. You can go online and see all the ways that you can continue to participate with us, from our daily devotionals, small groups, joy project challenges, self-care encouragements, and more. We hope you join us. You know, the whole idea of the Joy Project, it's not from us, it's from Scripture. From this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends at the church in Philippi over 2,000 years ago. You know, Paul and the Philippians, they weren't happy. They were suffering, but they still found their way to joy. And we believe that as we dig into this letter, as we seek Jesus in these words, well, we're going to find our way to joy too. So let's jump in to what I believe God has to say to us today. We're going to jump back into Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Paul writes, "I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I've been put here for the defense of the gospel.
The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment.
But what does it matter?
Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true. And in that, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking, with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. So I have a confession to make. Last week, even in the midst of a global pandemic, even with lots of people around me feeling anxious and stressed and worried and lonely and tired, last week, I was kind of living my best life. I gotta admit, last week, I was happy. I was feeling really good about my life. You know, I didn't love every single minute of it, sure, but for the most part, I was looking around me saying, you know, this quarantine life, it's not that bad, you know? Life is slowed down. Look, there are people out walking on that trail right by my house. I get to spend more time at home, which means I get to spend more time with my family. You know, this quarantine life, it's really doing it for me. Last week, I was feeling pretty good. And to be honest, I felt kind of bad about how good I felt because I knew that not everybody around me was feeling that way. Well, then the weekend happened. And I'm not sure what happened, but something inside of me just flipped. Like, outside of me, everything was exactly the same. Nothing had changed externally, but internally, I wasn't feeling good about anything. Everything changed, you know? So it became a little bit more like, you know, this is really bad. Life has slowed down, and there's all these people on the trail by my house, and I'm having to spend more time at home with my kids. This really isn't doing it for me. I don't know how many of you are riding the same roller coaster that I am, but I'm guessing it's probably most of you. We're all living in this what's called the quarantine state of mind, which, as I saw all over the internet this week, is having 3 solid days where you feel pretty well adjusted, followed by a sudden unexpected dip into what we call the hell zone. Wonder how many of you are living in that hell zone today. You know, if you're not there today, be glad. Be thankful. Because in all likelihood, you're going to be there tomorrow or the next day. If you're feeling good today, you just might hit that hell zone one of these days to come. Because the season that we're living in, it's hard. It's hard. And so I want to give some encouragement. If you hit that hell zone, when you hit that hell zone, there's 2 simple truths I want you to hold on to. You need to hold on to that come to us from Scripture. And the first one is this. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to not be okay. Paul writes, I want you to know what has happened to me. Do you know what happened to Paul? Do you know his story? Just real brief recap of here of the last few years of Paul's life. So for the crime, right, the crime of telling people about Jesus, Paul repeatedly found himself opposed, rejected, tormented, abused, arrested, beaten, stoned, and run out of town. So then he'd go on to the next town, and it was like wash, rinse, repeat, over and over again, until finally it happened in the city of Jerusalem. Got arrested there, the people are calling for his execution. And Paul's a Roman citizen, and so he claims his legal rights. He appeals to Caesar, says, take me to Rome, I want to stand trial there. And so that's what they do. They put him on a boat with other prisoners, and they set sail to Rome. But then what happens on this boat is they encounter such a fierce storm that the ship sinks. And every single one of the people on that ship went down with it. But somehow, miraculously, all of them, all of Paul's fellow prisoners, all of the Roman guards, all of the sailors, everybody's able to swim to safety. And they reach safety on the island of Malta. But not long after they get there, Paul's collecting firewood. He's bit by a poisonous snake. So they're there, they're finally rescued, but Paul is rescued to be taken to jail. As we talked about that last week, he spends the next up to 5 years in jail, guarded, chained to a Roman guard or two every day, every moment of his life, where he's just waiting for his trial, for his day in court, where his ultimate fate is going to be decided. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. So, Paul is not okay. And depending on the day, some of us aren't either. And I want you to know, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be lonely. It's okay to be worried. It's okay to feel impatient. It's okay to grieve the things that you have lost. And it's okay to not feel motivated to use all this extra time to clean and organize your entire house and write the next great American novel and get in the best shape of your life and launch your newest side hustle all at the same time. It's okay to not be okay. You know, some of us have a hard time believing that. There are some strands of Christianity, especially, that make us feel like we're kind of supposed to believe this idea that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Like we're all supposed to be smiling and laughing and clapping our hands at every moment. Like no matter what the situation or circumstance that we face, we're afraid that if we admit that we're not happy, that we're struggling, that somehow if we admit that we're gonna knock Jesus off of his throne, Satan will win and the world will never know that Jesus is Lord. Well, my dear friends, Jesus is Lord. And in his death and resurrection, he has defeated Satan. The powers of sin and death are done. And so it is okay if you are not okay. It's okay for you to be tired, for you to be sad. Jesus is right there with you in the midst of the tired, in the midst of the sad. And you are dearly loved in that place. It's okay to not be okay. That's the first thing we need to know. But the second goes with it. It's okay to not be okay. But you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. Paul was not okay, but
he didn't stay that way. Paul found his way to joy, and the steps that he took to take there, well, we can take those steps too. In this time of not okay, you can do three things. Connect to your community, live out your calling, and claim your identity. First, connect to your community. This entire letter of Philippians is a testimony to the fact that Paul could not have made it through all that he was going through without these brothers and sisters in Philippi. They partnered with him. They prayed for him. They supported and encouraged him. Paul needed his community. And we need ours too. You know, one of the good things I've found about this roller coaster quarantine life is that we're not all in the same place on that roller coaster at the same time. By which I mean, you know, when I was up and happy and energetic last week, there were people in my life who weren't. And so I had the wherewithal, the resources within me to reach out to them, to encourage them, to listen to them, to pray for them. And then this week, when I wasn't doing so great, those were the people who were then calling me and encouraging me and praying for me. You know, we all need that. We were not made to do life on our own. And if there is one blessing, and I think there will be many, but if at the very least one blessing that's going to come out of this whole pandemic, this is one of them, that this stark realization of how desperately we all need each other. And the really, really good things that can come when we connect authentically with one another. So let's do that. Connect with your community. Over 60 of you have signed up to participate in our online small groups for these coming weeks, and we are so thrilled about that. But if you're one of those who hasn't yet, it's not too late. There's a link right below this video. Shrink it down to small screen. Click on one of those links that says join a virtual small group. If there's not one that meets at a time that's convenient for you, or you're just not sure you have questions, please reach out and ask. Don't let anything stand in your way. We will do everything we can to get everyone possible into a small group. It's that important to us. We need to be connected to community if we're going to be okay. So connect to your community. Second, live out your calling. Paul writes, I want you to know that what happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. What has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. See, Paul wasn't alone in that jail cell. As I mentioned earlier, the practice was that he would be chained to at least two Roman guards every moment of every day. And so they would do this thing. They would rotate guards in and out for their various shifts. So a lot of Roman guards ended up spending a whole lot of time with Paul, the greatest missionary who ever lived. And so these guards, they heard Paul talking about Jesus. They listened in as he talked with people and prayed with people in Jesus' name. They probably overheard as he was dictating letters like this one to the Philippians, encouraging people through Jesus. You know, an early church historian wrote that as the months went by, Paul's guards had to be relieved of their duty as more and more of them became Christians. And you know, that wouldn't have happened if they hadn't been with Paul in those chains. You know, I know, things are rough. Life has changed. But let me assure you, there is no earthly circumstance, no experience of suffering that can circumvent or stop God's calling on your life. For though we all have our individual ways of expressing it,
all of us share the exact same calling. We all exist to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us have been put on this earth to know Christ and to make Christ known in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our community, in our world. That is our calling, and nothing can stop us. No imprisonment, no pandemic, no quarantine, nothing. So Paul understands this. Paul gets this. Nothing can stop his calling. And so instead of focusing on what is happening to him, Paul celebrates what God can do through him. And friends, God can do so very much through us in this time. You are already proving that point incredibly through the acts of kindness that you are doing, serving others in the Joy Project. What is happening to us is actually God working through us, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So connect with your community. Live out your calling. And finally this, claim your identity. Look with me at verse 21. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but definitely one of the most powerful and certainly one worth memorizing. Paul says, "For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." I want you to imagine with me real quick. What if I told you to pull out a piece of paper right now and at the top of that paper to write these words, to write, "To me, living is blank." And the rest of the blank is for you to fill in as honestly as you can. What would you write? What's the most important thing? What is the center of your life? What do you base your identity on? You know, for some, it would be, "To me, living is accumulating wealth, building up financial security, providing for my family's future." Others would write, "To me, living is my career, succeeding in my work, moving up the professional ladder." Still others, it'd be marriage or family. "To me, living is my kids." Might be health, personal appearance, recognition, fame. Well, Paul says his center is Jesus. His identity comes wholly and completely from his Savior. "To me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." So when you get really honest with yourself, what's at the center of your life? From what or from whom do you get your sense of identity? Is it your job? Is it your finances, your possession, your family? These are all good things, but as we've learned over these last several weeks, they are so very temporal and so very fragile. None of these are worthy of the center of your life. None of these will provide a lasting sense of identity. Only Jesus can do that. So we need Jesus. We need Jesus who saves us from sin and death. We need Jesus who calls us to follow him into the suffering and sorrow of this needy world. We need Jesus who gives us life that begins now and carries on after we die. We need Jesus to find our center and to claim that our identity is in him. I'll close with this. Many of you know and love Pastor Jeff Conway, the previous senior pastor of this church. And one of the things that Jeff was known for, besides his avid fandom of the Oregon Ducks, was a question that he would ask over and over again in every conversation, every situation. He'd ask it as he walked into a hospital room. He would interject this question. Often at times it felt a little random in conversations. He asked it, I don't know how many times, when we'd be talking through something in a pastor's meeting, all of a sudden Jeff would just pop in with this question. And it would throw you off at first. Jeff would look you in the eye and say, who are you? Who are you? And until I got used to it, it would jar me a little bit, as I know it did for some of you. Like, who am I? What do you mean? We've been talking for the last 30 minutes, or who am I? You just walked into my hospital room. Don't you know who I am? But of course, Jeff did know who I was, as he knew who you were too. But Jeff wanted to make sure that you knew, that I knew, who we really were. And the answer he was looking for was always the same. Jeff would ask, who are you? And the answer was, I am a child of God. So who are you? Friends, it really is okay to not be okay. But you don't have to stay that way. So connect with your community. Live out your calling and claim your identity. Who are you? Let's all say it together. I am a child of God. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for your love for us, your presence with us, and the joy that you make possible in every circumstance, in every situation, through the presence and the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. So may he be made real to us this day. May we know his abiding and everlasting life in us, through us, for us. And may we receive that joy. For we pray it in his name. Amen.